Well, tonight, I want to talk about something that is really very relevant to this sort of time we're in. And here's a little clue to what I want to talk about. It's these four numbers, 3, 4, 5, 6. So just have a look, talk on your tables, and just think, what could David be talking about tonight that is somehow tied into these numbers, 3, 4, 5, and 6? So just turn around. I see Dick's there with, you know, and Sean. They love numbers. So you can just turn around and think, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, there's Vic as well in the back, number people. So 3, 4, 5, 6. What on earth might that have to do with this kind of week particularly that we're involved in? Any clues? See, you know, I like math puzzles, so go and have a think. 3, 4, 5, 6. 3, 4, 5, 6. What do they make when you do different things with them? I'll give you a clue. They go in that order. Okay. I'm looking around, and I don't think anyone's got it. Have they? No, I didn't think you would do. In fact, 3, 4, 5, 6, 3,456 years ago. You know what happened then, didn't you? 3,456 years ago. That's a long time ago. It was when God's people, the Israelites, were in Egypt. 1446 BC, people are pretty much in agreement on it. God broke in spectacular ways. There were miracles, there were plagues, there were sort of big kind of power struggles between the mighty kind of oppressors, Egypt, and the sovereign Lord who was coming to rescue his people. And God, after wrestling with these plagues, after saying through Moses, the prophet, to the people of Egypt and to Pharaoh, you must let my people go, there came this last plague. A plague that was combined with an instruction to God's people. An instruction that we find in Exodus 21. And I want you to turn there with me. And it's Exodus 12. I'm sorry, Exodus 12, page 69. And what we see here, right in the midst of this kind of this book, that is, I want you just to really capture this. This is real time. This is something like, anyone here got a birthday? Anyone here got a birthday? No one. Everyone, I think, has got a birthday. Today, actually, March 28th would have been my gran's birthday. And she's now in glory. But birthdays mark actual events, days when people are born. And you can pin things back because they're actual events. And then people remember them. And the Passover that we're going to look at tonight is an event that the Jewish people have remembered. Year after year after year for 3,456 years, and they're remembering it again this week. And it's in the context of that week that Jesus, who came in the Passover week, and as we're thinking about this week, and as you're even just maybe mulling over this week, I long that this week would somehow, there'd be a fresh excitement, a fresh wonder. We sung this morning, James, that wonderful hymn, "May I never lose the wonder of the cross. May I see it," what was the phrase? "For the first time. May I see it for the first time." And I hope that maybe something tonight, as we think about the Passover, and yes, as we come to the story of Jesus and that Passion Week, that there'd be something of the wonder of the cross that we'd see afresh as we look at this tonight. So I want to just read from verse 21 to 28 tonight, and then we'll dive straight in. "Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians. That was the final plague, the plague on the firstborn in chapter 11. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worship, and the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. Recorded events for us, recorded by Moses, 3,456 years ago, but I believe words, actions that can speak volumes to each one of us here tonight. I was listening on the radio, and a Jewish rabbi was doing Thought for the Day, and he was talking about Passover. And he said this. He said that the Passover meal now in tradition begins with a child. I don't know if you knew this. A child asking a question. The child asks a simple question, and this is the question they ask. Why is this night different from all other nights? And then they use the different things in the meal and the Passover meal to explain and remember and think back those 3,456 years. So what are the lessons then for us tonight at the Passover? What if we were sharing in that meal? What, as we look forward, look with me into John 12, where I was preaching this morning, and I just kept on... Seeing this as I was preparing, John chapter 12, the whole context, it says, John chapter 12, 6 days before the Passover is John chapter 12, verse 1. John chapter 12, verse 12, the next day the great crowd that had come for the feast, this feast, the feast of unleavened bread that culminates in the Passover. That's what they'd come for. There's this sense all the way through that this is Passover time. People had come, look back to 1155, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover. Many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. Verse 56 of chapter 11, they kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, what do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast at all? They're looking for Jesus, and they're there because of the Passover. So this is this rich kind of tapestry and fabric behind the events that we're going to be considering as Christians this week, and we're going to be thinking about. So what is there in this story of the Passover? What are their lessons that we can be learning? And the first thing I want us to see tonight is that the Passover speaks of a people who have been spared from judgment. A people who have been spared from judgment. And if you look in back to Exodus 12, if you look with me here, the striking thing about this whole kind of scenario, and the striking thing, if you were to remember at this, you know, on a kind of annual event, is that it reminds you of the kind of godness of God. God is able to do anything. God is the one who holds those who oppress others, those who do injustice. He holds them to account. Look what it says in verses 23, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians. The Lord was coming in judgment. That night, back in 1446, the Lord came in judgment. He'd waited. Then he came. The Egyptians thought, God's not going to do anything. We can do what we like with these people. We can do what we like. then he came. God came and he brought judgment on those. On who? On just a few? Well, no, actually, interestingly, some of the other plagues, like the plague of darkness, had spread over all the land except for a little bit. There's some other plagues where there'd just been little parts of the land that had been spared. Whereas this plague of the firstborn, this plague of judgment was one that actually covered everyone. The judgment was going to be something not just over the Egyptians, it was going to be over all of the people. Why? Well, because all of them were going to face God's judgment. And the amazing thing about these people is that they were given instructions to how they could be spared through the judgment. How they could, as it were, pass through it. Almost like when you go out in the rain, you've got an umbrella, you've got a protection, you've got a covering. This was something that was going to be able to enable them to pass through the judgment. And so look at what they have to do. They have to go at once. There's an urgency about it. Go at once and select the animals for your family. These are the animals that have been referred to back in chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. They had to go and select an animal that was without blemish. Verse 5, the animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take them and care for them for 14 days of the month, and when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. So they were to go and find themselves a Passover lamb. Now, I had a bit of lamb for lunch. It's very nice, thank you. Family from the church just made us a meal, great lamb casserole. And I was just thinking as I was eating this lamb. In fact, we got a very interesting conversation with my daughter about vegetarianism. And we end up then having to explain, the fact that what we're eating. And I was just thinking, there's this lamb that's had to die and we're eating it. Sorry if you didn't realize that, by the way. If you thought it just came from Tesco's, it's a bit of a shock. But, in Kenya, where I grew up, there's this real connection often between the meat you eat and the actual animal, because they don't do in rural parts of Africa they don't do fridge freezers. So you wanna get some meat for a special occasion, particularly this time of year. A lot of people will be buying sheep and goats. And this time of year, they'll probably have their sheep and goat. And even in Nairobi, this is a capital city where they do have fridge freezers, even a lot of people will still keep their goat or their sheep in the back garden. I'm getting some smiles from people who visit Africa. They will have their sheep and goat in the back garden, and it will be there to keep it fresh. But just this connection that this thing is going to have to die. And these people got their Passover lamb. They'd selected this lamb without blemish. And they had it there. And they were to go and slaughter it. To kill the Passover lamb. Why? Meaningless? No. With purpose. Because this blood was going to go over the doorposts of their house. So that they could be spared when the angel of the Lord came through. Look at it with me again. Exodus chapter 12. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top of the door, sides of the door frame, and will pass over. That's where the phrase Passover comes from. He will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter that house and strike you down. If they didn't have, they would have been struck down. So the only thing that saves them, the only thing that rescues them, is not because of their nationality, not because of who they are. It's because of the blood. It's because one has already been slain. There has already been someone who's died in their place. And blood has then been covered over them. And so they are spared from the judgment. So what about for us? Well, as Jesus comes, simply comes, as Penny was saying, into our world, John the Baptist, John 1, calls out and says, look, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The one has come who's going to be our substitute. The one who's going to die in our place. Give us that covering that you and I might be spared from judgment. And in fact, as you go on, you see this phrase kind of repeated. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Page 1147. It says this: get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. I'll talk about that a bit later. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Christ is our Passover lamb. He's the fulfillment of this Passover meal. He's the one who came that we might be spared from the judgment. So if you go on and look at Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, that's now page 1218, or actually 1217. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. 1217 says this: for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. We've been redeemed. We've been spared from the judgment by the precious blood of Christ. God's judgment fell on him, so it doesn't need to fall on me. So it doesn't need to fall on you. And if you aren't covered, then it will fall. For every wrong thing you've done, when you face God, judgment will fall. So how does this relate to us this week? Well, you will never see Good Friday as an amazingly good day. You will never see this week as remembering something massively special if you don't see Christ, as one writer put it, through the eyes of your sin. You realize that if it wasn't for him, you would be paying for your sin before God. And the amazing thing is, actually, you and I, we get the enemy in our ear condemning us. Do you get this as well? Condemning us, saying, oh, you know, God's going to be on your case for that and for that and for that. And the amazing truth of the Passover, the amazing truth of this week, is that one has died in your place and my place. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So that we can say with confidence, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that tonight? That there is no condemnation for you if you've come underneath the covering of the blood of the Lamb. We're pretty good at beating ourselves up, aren't we? I don't know, have you got what is the thing you beat yourself up with? Oh, you know, I'm not a good prayer, or I'm not reading my Bible as much as I should, or I did that again and I've been, you know, trying not to. And we beat up, oh, God's never going to accept me, and am I really a Christian? Well, let me ask you, are you under the blood of the Lamb? That's the key question tonight. Are you under the blood of the Lamb? You know, as you turn to the end of the Bible, I've been thinking a lot about heaven recently. And in Revelation chapter 19, we're skipping about a bit tonight, but look what it says here. Revelation chapter 20, the end of. Just in case you're in any doubt whether judgment is still real, it says this. The little title is "The Dead Are Judged." So this is Revelation 20, verse 11, page 1249. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Notice that, all the dead, selves included, judged according to what is in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they've done. Each person, judgment is according to what you've done, and none of us will be able to stand that judgment. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. And it says in verse 15 of this other book, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So there's books that are opened, which have everything that you and I have ever done, and that by which we will be judged. And then there's another book. It's called the Book of Life. Do you want to know a bit more about that book? It seems pretty important that my name and your name are in it. Well, let's turn over into Revelation 21 and just see. Verse 27 of Revelation 21 says this, nothing impure will ever enter heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. But this time, there's a little reference to whose book it is. Whose book is it? The Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life. It's the people who have the Lamb's blood covering their lives. So is the Lamb's blood covering your life tonight? Do you know that you've got that blood spared, so that as you think about this Passover week, you can think, yeah, I am a person who's spared from the judgment by the grace of God, by nothing I deserve, but by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And do you realize that when you think about Good Friday, it's not just Jesus entering into our suffering, and yes, he does that. It's not just Jesus coming and identifying himself with the pain of the world or just kind of defeating death, though he does all those things. This is Jesus taking my judgment. And if he's paid for my sin and your sin, if he's taken that judgment upon himself, then we are spared. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So are people spared from the judgment? But the second thing I want us to see that Passover reminds us of, if you turn back to Exodus 12, is of a people who are set free. A people who are set free. Look back with me and just think of this people in Egypt. They'd been slaves for 430 years. They'd been under oppression. They see a mighty God coming and rescuing them with a mighty hand. And part of that is this bringing of judgment. And it's part of the judgment of God falling on Christ that destroys the devil's work. It's part of that that is what brings the freedom to us. So as they do that, as they share in this meal, they're expectant. They're anticipating freedom. Freedom awaits them. So they say in verse 24 of chapter 12 of Exodus, obey these instructions as lasting ordinance for you and your descendants when you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised. Observe this ceremony. Wow. When you enter the land, this sense of being brought into freedom, being brought into the place prepared for us, being set free. They're going to be free as they walk out of Egypt, but they're going to be even more fully free when they come into the land. And in the same sense, you and I, we've been set free by what Christ has done, that we have this wonderful privilege now as walking as free people, as being brought into a wide open space. But when we get in heaven, you know what? We're going to be even freer. Free from pain, free from fear. Free from that battle with sin, set free. You know what it is to experience that freedom tonight. Let's read on. It says this, and when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. And the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. There's two things I want us to just see about being a people who are set free. And just the setting of the Passover, I think, is going to help us with this. That there was something that needed to happen in Pharaoh, in Egypt, in order for him to release the people. It was this same Passover night, this passing over of the Lord, over the people of God, and bringing that judgment, that kind of mortal blow to God's enemies, that enabled them to release God's people. They could see that they had no hold over them. So there's Egypt letting go of the people, but there's also the people had to be willing to let go of Egypt. There's two things to freedom. There's whatever's holding you, it's got to know that it's been defeated. It's got to know that it has no authority any longer over your life. And then there's the other side. You've got to walk away from it. You've got to let go of Egypt. And as we think about the whole Passover situation, I just want to bring it right home for you and I and say, I don't know tonight what are the things that have a hold over your life. What fears, what struggles, what ways the enemy is trying to hold on to you as one of the people of God. But I know that Jesus died, and we're going to remember it this week so that you could be set free. So if you want to have a great preparation for Easter, and if you want to think about this week, I want you to have in your mind, okay, Jesus did all this so that I could be set free. Am I free? Am I walking as a free person? Am I knowing that freedom? Well, here's two things you need to know. The first thing you need to know is that this work of Christ, this Passover lamb that was slain for us, this one who came and what is it in that great hymn, you know, sin is, death is died to death, or Christ alone, final verse. Anyone? Anyway, it talks about sin being destroyed and death being dead. And Jesus, as he died, has defeated our enemy and dealt him a mortal blow. He no longer has a right to hold over your life. He knows it. He knows that he no longer has a right. That's how, as those who are seeking to minister to others, we can go to them with confidence, and we can pray for them with confidence, because the one who is in us, the Lord Jesus Christ, is greater than the one who is in the world. But then there's the other side. Will we walk away from those things that hold us? That's where this leaven comes in. And if you know anything about the Passover, you know that it's twinned with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And in fact, in Exodus 12, this is a whole big deal. It says in Exodus 12 that what they're to do, look at verse 14. This is the day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you do eat bread, verse 15, made without yeast. And on the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day until the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. So, what's happening this week? Well, Jewish families are making sure that their houses are clear of leaven. So again, they make a big deal of this. They now, 3,456 years later, they search out their house. Anything with yeast in it, that's leaven. They remove, they get out of the house. They don't want it to do. They don't want to carry things from Egypt with them. They wanna eat stuff that's gonna right there and then they wanna go. There's a sense of leaving. They're to do this in haste. They're to do it with their clothes, you know, sort of their cloaks on and their clothes tucked in. When was the last time you had a meal in a jacket? And, you know, you're there, you're ready to go. These guys were to eat it, ready to go, so that they could leave Egypt and not bring traces with them. So when Paul refers back to the Passover, turn back to that 1 Corinthians 5 with me. And it says this, 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 6. He says this. Page 1147. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? So get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast as you really are. For Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. Do you see how the Apostle Paul is taking these Passover themes and applying them to you and I? He's saying, Jesus, our Passover lamb, has come. He's set us free. He's made the way possible so that you and I can leave Egypt. Don't hold on to things from Egypt. That malice, that bitterness, that anger, that stuff that can sift through, that wickedness, that greed. You know, they went into the wilderness, they were still hankering after watermelons, it says. Can you believe it? Slavery with watermelons, or freedom being fed by God, and they're hankering after watermelons. What is the stuff that you're still hankering after back in Egypt, in the world that Christ died to set you free from so that you could be free and enjoy Him forever? What is the stuff, the yeast that is still in your heart? You need to just say, right, I'm going to, this week, just get rid of it. I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to break that habit. I'm maybe going to share with someone this habit that I want to break this week. And I'm then going to start coming into this Easter time, this Good Friday and Easter Sunday, believing that Christ is all in all to me. Get rid of the old batch. Get rid of the old yeast. Let Egypt go. I remember standing in this pulpit, I think, Johnny, it was after something you'd said, and I was talking about, it's never good to try and have a foot in both camps, and it doesn't really work here, but you know, imagine you're trying to live for Christ, but you're still trying to have a foot, you know, over there, and it was a bit more dangerous up there, but it doesn't look kind of safe, does it? It doesn't look a good way to live. I tell you what, trying to live compromised life, trying to say, I'll still be in Egypt a little bit, but I'm trying to move towards the promised land. Ouch! Let go of Egypt. Get rid of the yeast. Think of the Passover lamb, all that he went through so that you could leave, so that you could be free. He's done his part. The enemy is being dealt that mortal blow. So remind him of it. Remind him of it when he comes to give you grief, when he comes to condemn you, when he comes to tempt you again. Remind him and remind yourself that you're free. Walk in the freedom that he enjoys. And yes, there'll be battles. Yes, even Jesus knew what it was to have the enemy come and tempt him and wrestle him. And one day we'll be free from even his hassle when we get to heaven, even free from his condemnation and those times we trip up. But boy, let's walk as free people, enjoying that wide open space that Jesus has indeed won for us. So tonight I want to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Was reading a story about that one little phrase this week where Spurgeon, who was a preacher, famous preacher in London, about 150 years ago. And in fact, his son was one of the pastors here. But Spurgeon became really kind of renowned as a preacher, so that when Crystal Palace, which is now a place, but was one time back then an actual huge auditorium made of glass. When Crystal Palace was holding a kind of special commemoration service, they thought, who should we get to preach? And they asked Spurgeon to come and preach at Crystal Palace. And so it's huge, and they didn't have PA, you know, in those days. So Spurgeon was thinking, okay, how I better check that people are going to be able to hear me. So he came to the auditorium, and The records say that to test out whether he could be heard, he just kept on repeating this phrase, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you hear me at the back? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And there was a guy trying to fix some window pane. And he kept on hearing this. And that night, as he went back, he realized that he was a man full of sin. Yeah, it was a time 150 years ago when there was a lot of rubbish around, just as there is in our own time. And he thought, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, I need that. And that night he gave his life to Christ. He came and eventually connected with Spurgeon's church. And just from knowing that there's a Lamb who can take away our sin, that can spare us from judgment and set us free. May we never lose the wonder of the cross. If we forget either of these things this week, we will lose our wonder at the cross. If you remember them, they will cause you to have that wonder afresh, I assure you. And even tonight, you don't have to wait till Good Friday. Our Passover lamb has been slain. We don't have to do a whole kind of ceremony thing each week. We're not just looking back. We're looking to an event that is a real living reality that can set us free today, not from the Egyptians or from the Romans, who the people at the time of Jesus were kind of longing to be set free from. No, but from the enemy who kind of besets us with our fears and our guilt and our sin. We can get him off our back and walk out with the Lord, a people spared from judgment and a people set free. So tonight, as we just end our service, I wonder, do you need to know in a fresh way, even tonight, that you're not under condemnation? Maybe you've just been beating yourself up over something. Maybe it's even been a little thing. Isn't it nuts that the littlest of things can sometimes be the things that we kind of have a go at ourselves, and the enemy gets in and we just make us feel rubbish? Maybe you just need to realize again that you're not condemned. God smiles over your life. But maybe also there are things that are just gripping you and you just long to be free of them. It could be that you've either doubted that you can be free, that there's really power to free you. Or it could be that you want to be free, but you just don't want to leave them. Maybe you just need to leave them tonight. Get rid of the old yeast. So I'm going to ask that the band could maybe just come up, and they're just going to play quietly. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. And you might even, as you sit there, you might even want to join in that in a bit. But what I'm going to ask is that primarily you do business with God. And you just, in this time of quiet, you just make sure that you wonder again at the cross. And if you've never received that covering, then tonight, please make sure you just say, Jesus, I want to cover my life with the blood of Christ. And if you're just wanting to be free of something, just come and say, Jesus, I want to leave it. I want to be free. And if in any of those things you just want to pray with someone and just have someone share in that with you, then I'm just going to ask a few people to head out into the back kind of corridor area through those doors. So there's just space where people can just pray alongside you. I'm going to ask if Graham and Margaret and Annie, you three there, and Sean, you could just head out that door out that way. And I'm going to ask if Philip, you could head out that door. And I'm wondering, Mike and Sarah, would you be able to go out that way as well with Penny? Would that be possible? And just be available to pray with anyone who just wants to step out. So you've got men and women out both doors, plenty of them. People can just go and say, yeah, I just want to pray, for anything. It might just be something you just you want prayer for tonight. It might be connected with a message, it might not be. And I'm just going to ask now if we can all the rest of us, let's just stand. And in the quietness of just standing and hearing this song, that we would know fresh revelation of the wonder of the cross for our own lives. So Jesus, just as we stand, come by your Spirit, I pray. We thank you for that wonderful Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would remind us again that when we're covered with your blood, when our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is no condemnation. Enemy, be gone in the name of Jesus. You have no right condemning my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus, we thank you that you have the victory. You've dealt the death blow to the enemy. We're free to go. Free from his oppression. Satan, we say, you have no hold of us. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. and the snares of this world we want to turn aside from. We want to get rid of the old yeast. So Holy Spirit, just come in this time, and even as the music plays, help us do business with you personally. If we know we need prayer tonight, Lord, I pray that we would get it and that you would move in power for your glory. Amen.